The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Owen Shane happens to be here from Off the Ball to talk about sport, but let's do the ice creams.
Yeah, the mildly melted iceburger is the peak of ice creams at this point. Because you can have it at home as well as on the go. You can pop into a shop. It's versatile, you know. Buy a big box, bring them home, and you're good to go for a couple of days.
Okay, Owen, the biscuity external shell is a bit warm for a hot day, I would contend.
Well, not if it's been sitting in a freezer all day.
No, but it just has that texture. Do you know what I mean? It's that mouthfeel. It just doesn't give you freshness, like a Solero, for example, which is my favourite at-home ice cream.
That is a controversial take, I think. Solero at home is a rogue choice to be going into a supermarket and coming home with a box of Soleros.
What's wrong with that?
I just find that absurd.
That's mango a one and done. Orange ones, raspberry ones, mixed berry. They're exceptionally delicious.
One and done in a shop when you're feeling a bit rogue, when it's like, oh, wow, it's 25 degrees for the first time in 2 years.
I'll have to get a cone today. I'll have to get 100%. One now. It's done. Keep the ice cream text coming in on 087 1400 106. You're here to talk about sport, which is wonderful. So we'll forget about ice cream. Actually, they're going to need ice cream, aren't they, at these rugby matches at the weekend? There's a lot going on in very high temperatures.
Yeah, there certainly is. So Bilbao is where the action is at for the Irish provinces. So I'm looking at the forecast here. It's 34 degrees right now in Bilbao. Ulster are going to be playing in that heat later tonight, thankfully for them. But it's only going to dip below 30, I'd say, at around 9 p.m. So Ulster are playing Montpellier in the Challenge Cup. And then tomorrow is the big one when it drops to a freezing cold 27 degrees Celsius in Bilbao for Leinster against Bordeaux Begle. And both Irish provinces underdogs this weekend.
Tough setting. Luke Fitzgerald is with us on the line, former Ireland international. Hello, Luke.
Hi, Claire. Tough segment to follow up after the ice cream.
Isn't
Hopefully
it
I don't
just?
Let you down.
Well, what ice cream do you prefer in the heat?
Are we actually doing this? Yeah, listen,
we are.
I'm a white Magnum man. Solero's just ain't going to cut it. I have to agree with Owen on that
one. Where is the refreshing element in a white chocolate Magnum? Like, where is it?
It's the coldness, Claire. That's the key.
And I suppose it's a bit crispy, isn't it? It's got the element of crunch there too, which I can see is
it's
appealing.
Got that bit of magic in there. Yeah. Look, it's the white chocolate does it for me, as you can tell from my new my new shape after in retirement. I've had a few too many, clearly. I need to cut it out.
Where are you affording your white Magnum habit is the question most people would have, Luke.
Well, listen, I'm a Black Rock boy, so you know, only the finest for me.
He's splashing them around, Magnums all over the place every day of the week, not just a Sunday treat. Luke, do you want to talk about the rugby?
May as well, Claire, while I'm here, yeah.
Listen, Leinster, of course, feeling the heat, pardon the pun, since 2018. I mean, they've had a rough couple of years, 4 years, not in a row, but three in a row, where they came away with nothing. How are you feeling ahead of this match?
You know, I'm quietly confident. I think, you know, with all the hurt that's gone on, like obviously there's a pressure with that, Claire, but I just think the expectation is just a little bit less given the quality of the opposition they're up against. And I think that actually might be something that might play in their favour. I think over the last couple of times, and particularly the La Rochelle ones probably stick out, where they had some great opportunities to put the game away and couldn't get it done. I just think that maybe that little bit of extra expectation might be something that might play to their strengths on the weekend. And I do think they've got an extremely strong squad. We're all looking forward to seeing that the lineup that Leo Cullen decides to go with. But I still think he's got a really strong deck of cards to pick from, and they're well capable of winning this one on the weekend, I think.
Yeah, Luke, one of the big scares for Leinster over the course of the last week was that Tommy O'Brien pulled up before the last game. It looks like he's going to win his race to play tomorrow, which is a massive boost, especially considering the pace that Bordeaux have in wide areas.
Yeah, and look, that's the key thing. Look, things can go really wrong very, very quickly against this Bordeaux team. Jalibert and Luku really pull the strings, and you know, they're excellent kicking games, kind of underpins a very exciting running game. But if they find the turf behind you, you know, Biebery, Uberti, Riassi, all these guys, even Pinot in the centre, these guys have serious top end pace, and they can hurt you very, very quickly. So, absolutely key that someone like Tommy O'Brien, with his pace, is back, and obviously his physical I suppose prowess on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, he's been a real energizer bunny for this Leinster team and for the Irish team, as a matter of fact, as well. So absolutely key to have someone like him available, and it'll be a big lift to the guys, I'm sure.
Any concern for you, Luke, that Ireland went to Paris at the start of the Six Nations and were beaten soundly? A lot of the same players on the pitch tomorrow.
Yeah, well, to me, there's kind of a blueprint to kind of fix that. You know, I thought Ireland really, shored up their defence after that game. I thought they, you know, you saw what they did in the air to England. I think there was a refocus on the quality of the kick, but also the quality of the chase, which I think was quite poor over in Paris. So I thought that was kind of the catalyst for what turned out to be actually a very strong Six Nations for the Irish team after a disappointing start over in Paris. So, look, I think the French guys will know what to expect on that front. But, you know, Leinster have been excellent in those two areas over the last couple of weeks. I really think they've been watertight defensively for the most part. And they've got that kind of oppressive, hard off the line defence that Nina Barr has been employing since he's arrived. If they can get on top of this Bordeaux team in that facet of the game, which they didn't do in Paris either, they've got a real chance of kind of forcing a few errors from this Bordeaux team. You know, I think they like to, they will force it. You know, if they love to play and they're going to continue to play. That's just the way this team goes about their business. So I think if they can get on top of them defensively, they could force a few mistakes and put pressure on this Bordeaux team. And if they're good in the air and they do a better job of chasing and they're going to have to be brilliant at that. I mean, any loose ball against this Bordeaux team, they're going to punish you badly. But if they do it well, and Gibson Park has been kicking brilliantly, I know Byrne had a rough semi-final, but I expect him. The Byrnes are mentally strong guys, I think, and I expect him to turn it around and have a really good kicking display, which I hope will be the foundation for a very strong Leinster performance. And I think, you know, you've got Keenan, who's excellent in the air, O'Brien back, Rico Ioane, I think, looks like he's coming into a bit of form. I think this Leinster team could put some pressure on this Bordeaux team. I don't think they have to play really expansive rugby to get on top of them. I think, you know, good, sensible rugby with, you know, very few mistakes and high discipline, I think, and that would really be a foundation for, a successful match against this Bordeaux team.
You mentioned Gibson Park. I was reading a piece with him this morning. It was in the Irish Times, where he was talking about not letting the sense of occasion get to the team. And I was sort of surprised to see that, because I wouldn't have thought that that would be a factor. But is it an issue at this level?
Oh, I think it always is. I mean, you know, any level of sport, you want to go out and win, but there's an added, once you've gone all this way, you're at the end of the season, all the hard work that's gone in behind the scenes, all the pain and hurt this Leinster team have felt over the last couple of years, all those things will play, some kind of factor in how they think about approaching this game. So, yeah, I think it's important that they're very calm. And the key thing in these big games, from my experience, is trying to find that place where you have that massive physicality and aggression that you need in any rugby match, but that you find that kind of calmness and that kind of, I suppose, a little bit of zen in what can be a very chaotic atmosphere. That's absolutely key to find the midpoint there, to be able to execute and have your best match. And they're going to need their best match against this Bordeaux team. So I'm not surprised to hear him say that. And I think it's good to hear that they're kind of approaching about it and thinking about managing their, you know, the mental side of the game, because that's going to be the key factor in most finals.
Luke, thanks a million for joining us, and enjoy the white chocolate magnums over the weekend. I hope you enjoy many of them in the coming days.
I have to run out and get one.
To resist. We're all there in our heads going, what time can I get the first ice cream in at? Thanks so much, Luke Fitzgerald. We haven't seen you, Owen, since Arsenal were confirmed as Premier League winners, and we have a lovely piece of audio now to play. This is Mikel Arteta. He was asked about whether he watched the game between Bournemouth and Man City. He didn't. Let's hear what he did do.
I was supposed to be here at Colney watching the game with the boys and certain staff, because that's what they wanted, but I couldn't. I think 20 minutes later, before the game, I had to leave. And I went home, I went outside to the garden, I started to build some fire and I started to do some barbecue. I didn't watch any of it. I was just hearing some noises in the background, in the living room, and suddenly the magic happened. My oldest son opened the garden door. He started to run towards me. He started to cry. He gave me a hug and said, "We are champions, Daddy."
Aww, Owen. Isn't that lovely?
I don't think anybody has reacted that way to Mikel Arteta's words all season long, and then all of a sudden the whole world loves him. It's amazing what a bit of victory can actually do for the image of somebody. I think those scenes on Tuesday night, not just the one that he's given us the image of there, but the actual scenes that we've seen, I think have created a little bit of a new image of this Arsenal team. They seem to be just good crack. And I think my favourite pieces of content was the quartet of Arsenal players that showed up to the Emirates Stadium at 5 a.m. on Wednesday morning, just coming along to have a look at the state of the place after thousands and thousands of Arsenal fans came down, and just seeing the likes of Rice, Saka, Timber and Eze just chilling out with a couple of fans. before walking through the stadium area and walking back to wherever they were. I thought that was just a really nice moment. I loved Nani Madueke, the video that his mother posted of him coming in home. She was serenading him, and then he got a little bit embarrassed and he said, I'm off back out again. This is a club that hasn't had success of this level in over two decades, and you can kind of tell, but it hasn't been, I don't think anyway, a cringe couple of days. I've actually been quite surprised just by the magnitude of it all, because again, it's just been so long. You forget how big the club is. You forget how many supporters there are of Arsenal, and particularly in this country as well. I think a lot of people support the club because of their Irish links. I have an affinity for the club because my dad supports them, and he supported them because of the Irish connection with Arsenal in the 1970s between Liam Brady and Frank Stapleton and David O'Leary. And I would say I'm one of a fair few people of my generation who've had that baton passed down to them. Unfortunately so for two and a bit decades, but fortunately so this week.
That's great to see it. I'm just worried in my house, because you know my 12-year-old fan, that he's going to get used to this or think that it's a regular thing because he hasn't had the 22-year wait, but that's probably
good for him.
Very mammy-ish, you know?
No, this is it. This is it. It is the hope that kills you sometimes, but maybe Arsenal are in a place to actually have continued success. Maybe even starting next week. I would have worried quite a lot about where Arsenal would have been in their headspace had they let this Premier League title slip ahead of the Champions League final. But now that they've got it won, I think they can go in there and really embrace this underdogs tag. And I wouldn't be overly surprised if they were to upset the odds on Saturday week in Budapest.
Look, our time is pretty much up, but take us through the highlights in 30 seconds if you can, Owen.
Yeah, Kerry Donegal tomorrow, 3 o'clock, Fitzgerald Stadium in Killarney is the biggest football game of the week. Keep an eye on the Hurling Championship, 2 o'clock on Sunday. Kilkenny could miss out on a place in the next round of the All-Ireland Championship. They play Dublin. If they lose and Offaly beat Kildare, Kilkenny are out. And then the League of Ireland tonight. We've got the Louth Derby. We're carrying that here on News Talk. It's an 8 p.m. kickoff between Drogheda and Dundalk.
Off with you now to get your iceburger.
That's it.
Owen Shane, thank you very much indeed. A loop de loop, I think, is the winner. We'll discuss that in the next hour.
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.